Here we are, guys, the moment of truth. Can the Springboks beat the All Blacks in their own backyard? Today, you are going to get a front row seat to the ultimate preview. Let's start then with the two teams for this rugby championship contest in Wellington, beginning with the Boks. Now, our pack is not too dissimilar to last week. Oxenchair, Malcolm Marks and Thomas Du Toit start up front once again. But in the second row, Luit de Jager is promoted from the bench to the starting side. Ruan Nokia is once again in the 5 jersey. Eben Etzebeth misses out altogether. Captain Siya Kolisi is back in his more familiar 6 jersey. Pieter Steph Du Toit is retained at blindside, and Jasper Visser returns from suspension at 8th man. No place for Marco van Staden. It's in the back line where there are several changes. Kobus Reinach and Sasha Feinberg and Gome Zulu are the new halfbacks. Andre Pollard is out of the matchday squad entirely. We have a brand new centre pairing in Damian Willemser and Kanan Moody, who moves in from the left wing. In the number 11 jersey instead, we're going to see Ethan Hooker. Cheslin Kolbe is on the right wing with Apelele Fassi at fullback. And then the bomb squad. Dr. Rassie Erasmus has once again opted to go 5-3. Magnus van der Merwe is brought in. Jan-Hendrik Wessels is again there, but this time he will come on at loose head rather than hooker. And Wilco Lowe is also there. Ergius Sneyman comes into the matchday squad. Kwakha Smith is the 5th forward. And then we have Grant Williams dropping to the bench with Marnie Lebok and Andre Esterhazen completing the lineup. Okay, that's our lineup, and I'll give you my thoughts on that in a moment. But let's first take a look at what Scott Robertson has decided to put out at the cake tin. Ethan de Groot, Sammy Sony, Tauke Au, and Tyrell Lomax are the front row, only de Groot retaining his place from Eden Park. Skipper Scott Barrett and Tupou Vahi are again the second row soldiers. And then it's as you were in the back row, Simon Parker, Ardie Savia, and Wallace Setiti. And yes, I know, in the last episode, I mistakenly called Simon Parker Scott. That's what happens when you watch too much English football, I guess. But I promise you, I do actually know who Simon Parker is. And in case you missed it, I've also in the past mistakenly called Roman Ntamack Emil, Ethan Blackadder Todd, and rather embarrassingly, I have referred to Faf de Klerk as Faf du Plessis. It's a slip of the tongue, and unfortunately, it happens, guys. Okay, let's continue with the back line. They've got a new scrum half in Noah Hotham, playing only his 3rd test. That's an area we could look to exploit, I believe. Bowden Barrett continues at fly half. Geordie Barrett and Billy Proctor will once again be their midfield. They have a debutant on the left wing, Leroy Carter. Will Jordan moves from fullback to right wing. And then in the 15 jersey, they have the very capable Damian McKenzie. Let's look at their replacements now. Brodie McAllister will play just his 2nd All Blacks test when he comes on. Tamaiti Williams is there with Fletcher Newell moving from the starting 15 to the replacements. Fabian Holland and Du Plessis Karifi retain their places. Finley Christie has moved to the replacements. Quinn Tupia and Ruben Love complete the contingent. Okay, guys, so I spoke a few days ago about how Wellington is our best city in New Zealand. Before isolation, we won 3 tests and got a draw in 7 fixtures there. Since readmission, we beat them there in 1998 at the old Athletic Park, and then at the new Caketon, or Sky Stadium as it is officially known, we beat them in 2018 and drew in 2019. We also had a couple of 2011 Rugby World Cup victories at that ground against Wales and Fiji. So this is our best city and our best ground in the land of the long white cloud. And we're talking about a country that is, generally speaking, a graveyard for international teams. But the stadium itself is not what is going to give us victory. We need to be better in every area compared to Auckland. Simply put, we made far too many mistakes, way above the norm. And I was criticized for this statement. But if you take one mistake away from us, we would have had a draw. And if you take 2 mistakes away, we could have won. That is a stupid thing to say if you made a normal amount of errors throughout the match, of course. But I maintain it is a credible thought when you committed a disproportionate amount of mistakes as the Springboks did. Now, up front, I'm happy with our side. I would prefer to start with Wilco Loh, but I also see the wisdom in him coming on later and destroying everything in his way. I think we're going to see an improvement from Malcolm Marks in his line-out accuracy. He even admitted that he was not good enough, and I think the line-out calling might go a bit better with Ruan and Luit there this week. Let me just also say something about those line-outs. As poor as we were, and have been this year, it would also help if these things were refereed properly. There's a great video done by TAS Analytics where they highlight how the All Blacks players were encroaching at line-out time. If you haven't seen it, I highly recommend it. And to explain it as best as I can, at line-out time you have a corridor of space between the two teams. That is called the no-touch line. No player is allowed in that zone. But the All Blacks were taking little steps in that direction all the time, to the point where by the time Malcolm threw, it was the easiest thing in the world for Barrett or Vai to poach it. What is most infuriating to me is that the referee typically stands in that corridor at the back of the lineout. So how could he not have seen that? Or is he not familiar with that law? Speaking of the referee, I know many of you were not happy with Carl Dixon. I agree he didn't have a great game and missed a lot of things, but I would actually tell you that he missed a few things that we did wrong as well. You know, we're not perfect. Let's not pretend that we're angels. We're a little bit naughty too, and he missed some of those things to boot. However, what worked on my nerves the most, apart from that line-out encroaching, the number one thing for me was the way that he basically coached Finley Christie, but rushed Grant Williams. Many said afterwards that Grant had a bad test match. I submit to you that Grant never stood a chance. Then you can add in the obstruction and the offsides from the Kiwi Loose trio at the breakdown, which I'm afraid to say has largely become normalised, hasn't it? And not just from them. Think of Ireland, think of Australia. These people just don't get blown up for what they do. How are you supposed to combat that? Anyway, I do feel that we complain about this stuff enough every week, and yet nothing changes. Okay, now, I'm expecting more of the same from them in this regard this coming week. Hopefully, we get better refereeing. But more importantly, I want to see more intent from us, as well as fewer mistakes. We can blame the referee all we like, but the bottom line is we made so many mistakes that we actually just cannot blame anybody but ourselves for what ended up happening. If you make a normal amount of errors in a match, and you give it everything you've got, and you have a referee making those kind of errors, sure, then you can say, come on, Mr. Ref. But in this case, I don't think the referee made any difference. We simply have to be more clinical. And if our forwards can do that, then we have a backline that can do some serious damage. I think the Reinach-Feinberg and Gomez-Zulu combination is a good one. I won't lie, I'm unsure about Willemse and Moody as a centre duo. I know they can both play in those positions, but for me, those are not their best positions. That is not to say it cannot become their best positions, but I'd rather see Damien at 15, where before his injury, I think you could have made a strong case for him being the best fullback in the world. Certainly the best defensive fullback in the world. Think Rugby World Cup 2023. Damien Willemse was magnificent for us. And think of Kanan, who's still making his way in international rugby, and there's a part of me that feels like he's being messed around a little bit. This week he's at 14, next week he's at 11. And okay, maybe that's somewhat interchangeable, but then he's at 13 this week and then he's not next week. I feel like we need to decide what is Kanan Moody's best position, and then he plays there. And it's as simple as that. And if we decide he's going to be an outside center, then he's an outside center, for better or for worse. Or we decide he's a wing, then he's a wing. End of story, again, for better or for worse. Yes, maybe in 4 years' time, 5 years' time, we can change it. Think of the way that we've seen Bowden Barrett, who initially was just a fly half, and then we saw him play a lot at fullback, and that was kind of to accommodate Richie Mwanga in many ways, but nevertheless, he was an established fly half, and then they moved him to fullback. I feel like there's something that we can learn there, and I don't want to see us mess Kanan around. There's no doubt that he is one of the brightest stars in South African rugby. There's no doubt that if this boy fulfills his potential, he has the ability to go down as an all-time great Springbok by the time he retires. But I also feel like that is not going to happen if he's playing a different position every week. That said, I'm cautiously excited, if that's even a term, about Ethan Hooker on the left wing. By the way, this is another man who we have heard murmurs about maybe playing in the centres instead. Again, pick one. Let him play there. Yes, in an emergency situation. Yes, in a bomb squad scenario, he might have to come on and fill in somewhere. I'm not talking about that. I'm talking about what is this guy's core role in the team? Is he a wing? Is he a center? Let's choose. Let's decide. You know, it's not like Siya Kolisi, who played eighth man for a couple of test matches, pretty much because every eighth man in the country was injured and we didn't have an option. We didn't have an alternative option. But we all know Siya is an open side flank, and that's where he plays. And in an emergency situation, he goes to eight. That's not what I'm talking about here. I'm talking about we need to establish what is this player's position, what is his best position, what is his best role in the team, and then he does that. Cheslin Kolbe is an X-factor player who never lets the side down. And then Fassie is back at fullback. Let me say I like Apelele, I really do. And I thought he was very good in 2024. Yes, he had a nightmare against the Wallabies. But one test doesn't make a player a bad one. I do worry, though, that if we make as many mistakes as we did in Auckland, then this backline of ours might be under severe pressure. And I'm not convinced it's a combination that is equipped to deal with that. I'm confident in Kobus and Sasha as playmakers and generals. Willemse is a great defender, but he's not that wrecking ball 12 that we have in his namesake Dialende, or Esterhazen for that matter. He's in the side to run, isn't he? And Moody can run too. But can he organize the defense the way Lukanyo so expertly did and Jesse Creel has ably done? We'll have to wait and see. From their side, I suspect we'll again try to target their scrum half. In this case, the inexperienced Noah Hotham. Well, provided he is not protected and coached by the referee. We'll have to wait and see. I think for one, we should definitely target their back three. That up and under could be a real weapon for us. We didn't do enough of that last week, I felt. And for crying out loud, can we just get a few mauls going? There are two other things at play here. One, the New Zealanders are going to be super determined to beat us again and make it 2 from 2. That would not only make up for last year's double defeats in South Africa, but would also give them bragging rights in terms of the rivalry, world standing, and world rankings. For us, it's a shot at redemption. We would have loved to end their 50-match, 31-year unbeaten run at Eden Park, but we failed. And honestly, we fell short because we were our own worst enemies. We just made far too many mistakes, and we fell short of our own high standards. I want to see that change this week. If we lose, then we lose. But at least go down without any excuses. Even if we get pumped by 20 points, let's walk off that field knowing there was nothing we could have done any better. Instead of losing by 7 and saying what if and if only. No what ifs and no if onlys this week, boys. Go out there, give it everything, and get the result. And if not, just let it take care of itself. It's easier to accept a defeat when you know you couldn't have done anything more, rather than lose, and as the saying goes, die wondering. I'm backing our champions, our world champions, to do it this week. I think given the backline we've chosen, we're going to see a higher scoreline than last week too. And to be honest with you, this whole year, my feeling has been that we're going to go to New Zealand, we're playing 2 tests, and we're going to share this mini-series. It's going to be 1-1. It would have been great to have won at Auckland, but now we're going to win in Wellington. And so my prediction for this test is South Africa 33, New Zealand 29. But what do you think? Do you agree our boys will up the intensity, cut down on the mistakes, and show the determination necessary to turn things around in Wellington? or do you think we're in for more pain this week at the cake turn? Let me know in the comment section down below. And just before I go, guys, I'd like to encourage you to head on over to my Patreon page and sign up as a patron. There are great prizes to be won if you are a patron. For example, you can win the brand new James Small biography that's coming out soon. You could even win the brand new Eben Etzebeth biography that's coming out in the next few weeks. You could get discounts on my soon-to-be-launched online merchandise store. You could win yourself Springbok merchandise, jerseys, match tickets, that sort of stuff. You could maybe get me to write an ebook for you on your favorite Springbok rugby player. And you can even have quarterly Zoom calls with me where we discuss Springbok matches, tactics, the history, players, whatever it is that tickles your fancy, as long as it's Springbok related, of course. The reason I'd like you to sign up as a patron is because I would love to do this full time, and I would also love to go to Australia in 2027 and cover the Rugby World Cup for you from down under on a daily basis. It starts from as little as $5 per month, that's US dollars, not Zim dollars. Any contribution will be greatly appreciated. The link is in the description area below, and I thank you in advance for your support, and I'll speak to you next time.